You're on. Come on, John.
Ready?
Ready.
Okay. It's approximately 9:11 a.m. on Thursday, August the 25th, 2011. I'm Anthony Camacho. I'm serving as the hearing officer for the Office of Public Accountability. We're calling to order the case of any appeal of PubTech International Corporation. That's OKA-PA-11-009. We are here for the hearing on the merits of the appellant's appeal. And will the members of the Office of Public Accountability present for the hearing please identify themselves for the record?
Doris Flores, Flex Public Auditor.
Ann Camacho, Procurement Appeals Administrator.
Miracles Paris, Quality Assurance Review.
Thank you. And will the appellant's counsel please identify himself for the record and any institutional representatives with him this morning?
Philip Soros, counsel for the appellant. Present is Young Kim, who is president of PubTech, and his engineer, Mr. Kim. I'm sorry, I don't know his first name.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kim and Mr. Torres. And will the counsel for the purchasing agency please identify herself for the record and any institutional representatives with her this morning?
Sandra Cruz Miller, Office of the Attorney General. I represent the DPW Highway Division, and I have no institutional representatives here with me today.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Our first order of business is the appellant's waiver of this hearing, which was filed at approximately 4:17 last night. Further, I guess this is a culmination of some of the off-record discussions that I, as hearing officer, have had with both counsel. Just to summarize those off-record discussions, since the last pre-hearing conference, we were the parties had filed their stipulation in order to continue the scheduled hearing dates. That was on approximately August the 15th of 2011. After careful consideration of that, the OPA did issue its order denying the request to continue the hearing. Ray Appellant's appeal, and that was on or about the 16th day of August of 2011. On that day or the day thereafter, I did speak with Mr. Torres, counsel for the appellant, concerning some of the issues of funding for the project, in particular whether or not ERA funds were obligated, and whether or not the status of those funds would influence the decision to continue the hearing. Is that correct, Mr. Torres?
That's correct. Yes.
And in fact, you had also advised me that you had advised Ms. Miller that you were going to ask those questions of me. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Likewise, I think it was just this Monday or Tuesday, or perhaps it was late last week, Ms. Miller gave me a call and verified that ERA funding would probably not be an issue, and had likewise requested reconsideration of the order denying the continuance. Is that correct, Ms. Miller?
That's correct, yes.
Nevertheless, I did state that at this late hour, in terms of the proceeding, that perhaps if the appellant had waived the right to a hearing, that would definitely take the hearing off. Would both parties agree to that?
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, and hence on August 24th of 2011, we do have such a waiver of hearing. And is this still the appellant's intent, is to waive the appellant's right to a hearing, Mr. Torres?
It is, but we would also, we have some questions and some clarification.
Sure, please, you have the floor.
I note that there is a remedies brief that is due on September the 1. On September 1, I wonder if the waiving of the hearing still whether it affects that brief. We'd like to file that remedies brief on September 1 is due.
Ms. Miller, do you have a position on that?
No.
Okay. And keep in mind that these, everything that's been filed already will be considered as part of the record, okay? That being said, we will ask the parties to file the remedies briefs on as currently scheduled. Now, keep in mind, that's not a mandatory brief. That's a you may file it if you so desire, okay? But we will keep the remedies brief in the file. And certainly, if any of the parties file the remedies brief, we will consider that as part of the record when we make the decision in this case. Does that satisfy your concerns?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Are there any other concerns?
I understand that there's a 30-day time frame for the issuance of a decision after the hearing, so that clock could begin to run today.
Well, procedurally, if we went forward with a formal hearing under the procedures governing procurement appeals, you are correct in that if we went through the formal hearing process, at the conclusion of the hearing, the OPA is obligated to issue a decision in writing within 30 days thereafter. However, if there is not a formal hearing, we will still issue a decision based on the pleadings, okay? And what I was saying is, although it's not required by the rules, on average, pretty much within that 30-day period, we do render a decision. Even if there wasn't a hearing, pretty much on average, and I'm just giving you an average time frame of when to reasonably expect a decision, that's within that 30-day period.
In that conversation that you and I had, I explained our rationale for requesting an extension of the hearing date and told you, and it was confirmed in the government's brief, that we're trying to negotiate this. We believe that there are issues, liability issues on both sides, and that there are issues that could be resolved here. It may take us the better part of the next 30 days to hash those out, but I'm pretty confident that we can get to some resolution. I just want you to know that. I mean, if we basically have a decision in 10 days, for example, that pretty much undercuts what we're trying to do. We're trying to come to a resolution that's, because I would anticipate that any resolution by this body would then necessitate further discussions with the government. So we're trying to wrap it up in a neat bow.
Good. Okay, so going back to the decision, like I said, it's certainly we wouldn't start, okay, to the pleadings that actually close, in fairness to the parties. And I was going to discuss some pending issues from the OPA side, but before I get to that, do you have any other issues, Mr.?
No.
Of course. Okay. Ms. Miller, do you have any pending issues? Okay, there are three issues that the OPA does have after a its initial review of the issues or of the pleadings and the procurement record in this case. And we would like these issues briefed by the parties as well. And the three issues are this. What is the status of the project now? Okay, and I will give both the parties to give their, and this is where and we clearly understand that the positions of the parties may differ on each of these three issues. So we will give both parties the opportunity to brief these issues, okay? So what is the status of the project now? Number two, who made the decision to award IMC, CO or IMCO, is that how you pronounce that?
IMCO.
IMCO, who made the decision to award IMCO the project for $3.9 million? And how was that award made? That's the second issue. And then the third issue, and I'll put this in the form of an order after this hearing, as well as a briefing schedule, so you need that. If you don't get it now, we'll submit it in writing later today. And the third issue is there a bond on the IMCO award, or IMCO award? And those are the three issues we would like briefed. I will give the parties until September the 1st to submit their positions on those three issues, and I will give the parties another week thereafter. If you disagree with the other party's position, to explain why, and file an opposition, or basically not an opposition, just a response brief to the other party's positions on those three issues, approximately a week later, which I believe would be which would be September the 8th, okay? And clearly, we would not begin working on the decision until those briefings and the opportunity to respond to those briefings by September the 8th have expired, okay? Do the parties have any questions on that issue?
Well, just looking at the issues, it would seem that these issues are, the knowledge of these issues are more in the government's court, and that I certainly would not expect HubTech to know the details of the procurement involving it. And I would be happy to brief these issues for the OPA, because they're more factual and more of a background nature. But I'm not sure Mr. Doris or HubTech would to be able to file a brief on it. We can file something jointly, and I can ask it to them.
Well, if you stipulate, that's fine. If you want to stipulate on those three issues, that's fine. But nevertheless, keep in mind that Mr. Torres may have a different view than the government. Even if you're looking at the same facts, you may have different arguments, okay, than the government. So that's why I'm a little hesitant to just limit the opportunity to brief these three issues to the government alone and extend to Mr. Torres and his client, of course, the opportunity to discuss these three issues, or at least their positions on these three issues. Okay? They also, Mr. Torres, you also have access to the procurement record, is that correct?
I do.
Okay. So, they certainly have the opportunity to discuss these three issues, or they may concur with a brief filed by the governor or state that, you know, we don't have enough facts to answer these three questions, or the province of the government. Okay. So, and they might wait to see how you respond and then offer their response a week later if they so choose. Okay. But I'm going to give them the full opportunity to brief the issues as well, and also to both of you to respond to each other's briefs a week thereafter. Okay?
Yes.
And certainly, at any time, if you do come to an agreement, to understand, based on your representations by both parties from the off-record discussions and today, it's my understanding you're still attempting to settle this matter?
That's correct.
Is that correct, Ms. Wilson? Okay, and at any time, if you have your settlement, okay, keep in mind we will review it to make sure that your settlement is in accordance with law procurement law regulations, and if it's so approved, that would, of course, negate the need to submit these briefs, okay, and certainly would stop our process of issuing a decision in this case if we accept your settlement in lieu of that decision, okay?
Well, then procedurally, if we do settle this matter, does the office have a form settlement when we're talking about in accordance with procurement regulations? If we were doing this in civil court, we might, instead of just submitting the settlement, might submit the fact that we have settled and dismissed the case. So would a dismissal be appropriate, or is not allowed in this forum?
Well, keep in mind, it goes like this. The procedurally, okay, if I don't have the reg in front of me, okay, I'm just going from memory, but the bottom line is that the public auditor, or basically an appeal, can only be dismissed with prejudice, for example, upon the, or without prejudice, I believe, upon the approval of the public auditor. Okay, that's one. So if, depending on how you're seeking a dismissal of this action, that may bring about the public auditor's review. Likewise, I believe there's a provision, but I'll review that, prohibiting the, okay, can I just take a brief moment to go off the record to review this? Okay, we're back on the record at 9:30 a.m. Basically, Mr. Torres, just to address your question in brief, the there is a provision of force in TGA Division 4, Chapter 12, Section 121.4, Subsection C8. It states that after notice of an appeal to the public auditor has been filed, a party may not discontinue such appeal without prejudice, except as authorized by the public auditor. So if you want to dismiss your appeal without prejudice, you would have to gain the OPA's approval. Okay? So that's kind of, basically, if, and keep in mind that the public auditor may still desire to review. Okay, whatever, or would have to review inevitably whatever document you're filing to try to end this case. Okay. And then also, as hearing officer, upon my review of any such documents, I still have the power to hold informal conferences to settle, simplify, or fix issues in a proceeding. I see fit, that's under 2GR Division 4, Chapter 12, Section 12109. Subsection A. Okay. So whatever document you do file to end the case is still subject to the OPA's review in those two regards. Okay. And if it truly does settle the case, typically though, as it works, is assuming whatever the settlement methodology you agree on, if any, is reviewed and accepted, that would end this case. We would not issue a decision if it's, if you come to that type of settlement before we issue the decision. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. So at least we're clear on that. If you issue the decision and you come the next day, saying you settled, no, or you issued the decision, and then you would have your opportunity to appeal as set forth in the decision in Superior Court of Law after that point. Okay?
Yes.
All right. Are there any other issues?
None by the appellant.
No.
Okay. And as hearing officer, we will accept the appellant's waiver of the hearing. Just to confirm, Ms. Miller, the government did not request a hearing in this matter?
No, the government did not request.
Okay. The OPA will set a scheduling order later this afternoon concerning the three issues. We will maintain the remedies hearing as originally, the remedies brief is originally scheduled on September the 1st. That will also be set forth in that order this afternoon. And the OPA will issue its decision in writing in due course after the pleadings have closed, which will be on or about September the 8th of 2011. And like I said, that schedule will be set forth in the order this afternoon. This hearing is being waived by the appellant. It's hereby adjourned. We're off the record at 9:34 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.